A smile is the shortest distance between two people. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. A smile is the shortest distance between two people. And we don't believe that. We don't believe that because we say, well, why don't they like me? Did you smile at them? Did you give them a lovely smile or not? Well, why don't they like you? Because you didn't smile at them. Now, if you smile at them, then they'll like you. If you don't smile at them, then they think that you don't like them. Now, you want, that's good too. You want to smile so you'll get a smile back. Now, what did Norman Cousins tell us, which we've known all our lives? Laughter is a tremendous healing agent. And smiles and laughter, happiness, they all go together. When you have a happy spirit, then everything is fantastic. When you don't have a happy spirit, then everything is whatever it is. But it's up to you. It's up to you. A smile is the shortest distance between two people. Now, my mother was a crazy lady. She had many problems that confronted her, and she handled them beautifully. But nobody ever knew it. Everybody thought my mother was Mrs. Smiley. They called her Smiley all the time. They said, Ella, you're such a smiley lady. Ella, you are so wonderful. Ella, you uplift my spirits with your smile. No matter how I feel, your smile makes me feel better. And Ella, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they would say it in our presence. They would say it when she was alone with them. And they would write it in letters to her and tell her just how wonderful she was. Now, from that, I continued my smiley attitude and thought, yes, that's a good thing. I could see how it worked. I could see the definite way different people... People didn't say to me, Herb, your smile makes me happy. Herb, it's nice to see your smiley face. People don't say that, you know. But adults say it to other adults sometimes, and you get the message. You get the message that a smile is a very wonderful thing, and a smile is something that really keeps you turned on. It really keeps you going in every wonderful, positive way. Ellen, whenever she goes in the store, she finds something to smile about. She looks at the little children, she smiles. She looks at the adults, and she smiles. She went into the grocery store over here, up on the mountain, where they just sold their little convenience store, and she's like, $1 million they sold it for! Well, it's a corner location. And it's a gas station, it's a service station. And it's the only service station in the area of maybe about... The next one's maybe 5 or 6 miles away, over in Lake Marina. And so it has the major business from the area. Though people might drive to Lake Marina, it's the gas the same price, the service is the same, so why not go local? Now, these people bought it, but that wasn't the big point. When Ellen walked into the convenience store to buy some goodies so that she could eat before she came home so she wouldn't have to look like she was so hungry at supper time, she saw this one woman who was Mrs. Fantastic Figure. She had a very glorious figure, and Ellen said to her, "Wow, what a beautiful figure you have. You are a very beautiful woman." And the woman said, "Thank you." And Ellen says, "Well, why are you unhappy?" And she says, "Well, I'm going to be out of a job." And Ellen says, "Why?" "Well, they sold the store here. I'm going to be..." And Ellen, what did you say to her?
"Wow, one door is closing and then another one is opening. Just know you have the perfect, fantastic job." And then she said, "And that's also for my friend here."
What did she say first?
"Yes, yes, yes, yes. And is this all for my friend too?" And I said, "That's of course for your friend." And I said, "This is the principal." And she said, "I do understand."
Beautiful. Thank you. That was an unsolicited comment that Ellen had not prepared to give. Although she had said it once before, she wasn't prepared to give it. And as she had to remember what was all said because there was such a beautiful series of comments that were said. Now, I tell Ellen, and I tell everybody, I want the idea behind the story. I want the idea behind the story. And if the people looked at you and had a blank look on their face at first and said, what? How can that be? And the blank look was saying, what? How can that be? But they didn't say, what? How can that be? But the blank look said it. Then you say what the blank look said. They had a blank look on their face that said, what? How can that be?
Right.
And then they look at you and they lift their eyebrows and they say, are you okay? You know, are you a sensible, healthy lady? You know, and that's what the look said. And you have to say that to your audience. And you have to tell us, because we can't see that. Like, oftentimes Ingeborg is looking at me as I'm talking, and her head's going up and down like a chicken bobbing its head, you know. And I say, Ingeborg, that does no good. Say yes, 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 you know, or no, no. But our audience cannot see the bobbing head, so you have to use words. But also, be creative. Be creative. If somebody didn't say what you know they meant, have them say it. It really doesn't make any difference, does it? Have them say it. Now, the cats just appeared outside the door, and Button felt that he really had to talk to him. And Ellen has said to him, now, the cats don't know your language. All they know is that when you get boxy like this, they feel they have to run away. Button, what you want to do, Button, pay attention now, he's watching me. What you want to do is remember, Button, a smile is the shortest distance between two beings. So if you will smile at the cats, they will be happy. And then they'll smile back at you, okay? Yeah. Button? Okay? Smile at everything. Dogs can be smiley. Rex goes around loving everybody. He thinks everybody is just wonderful. And Button, he has a tendency to be the guard dog. Rex is a big dog, you know. He's, you know, as big as a person, and Button is big as a baby, you know, or, you know, maybe a two-year-old baby. And here he is. He takes on the world. He feels that he's in charge of making sure everything's going right in the world. But yet if Button would smile, the cats would come to him. When Button was a little baby, and I wanted him to get accustomed to the cats that we had at the monastery here and the cats that were everywhere, I picked up a couple of cats, baby kittens, that were from the wild. And they were in the backyard of this place where they had a bunch of equipment and stuff, and the cats were, you know, going around all the pipes and the stuff. You know, they were really wild. And so he got two of them and gave them to me. And I brought them home and immediately mellowed them. And they mellowed pretty fast. And then we put them with Button. We put them on the couch with Button so Button could smile at him. And, oh, they had a time making up with each other. The cat said, I'm supposed to be feisty. And Button says, I am not supposed to like cats. I am a dog. Don't you know that? And we said, yes, Button, dogs like cats. It's people who don't like dogs who don't like cats. And people who do like dogs who don't like cats, because dogs are supposed to not like cats. That's a historical thing. That does not mean it has to be. Now, I talked with a man as I was walking around in town, and he came out, and I saw his cat. And his cat came up to me, and very friendly. And then a few minutes later, his dog came up to me, very friendly. And the cat and dog were both, you know, rubbing against my legs. And I said, wow, what a neat couple you got here. He said, well, they were raised together. They only knew each other. They had the same box that they slept in, the same one that they lived in. They ate the same food, and now they're just bosom buddies, you know. And yes, that is nice. But the thing is, you see, it was an enforced thing, and they couldn't be mad at each other because they didn't know how to be mad yet. And he expected them to get along. Now, that's the big thing. But also, he was alone for a period of time, and there was nobody in the house except him, and he had the cat and the dog with him always. And they were in the backyard where there were no other neighbors around who had pets or anything, and so they were very used to each other. They learned to smile at each other. And, of course, the distance became shorter and shorter between them the more they smiled. And they were sleeping together. They weren't having sex together. They were sleeping together. No, every time you say they're sleeping together, people bring that connotation. But they were enjoying themselves. They were loving each other. They were thinking each other was just a super-duper diet. And this is what we want to do. We each want to recognize that a smile is indeed the shortest distance between two beings. And Ingeborg, when you smile, the smile, world smiles with you. Now, what did the doctor's helper say as he was working on you today? He says, Mrs. Fuchert, lift up your head. Lift up your chin. Lift up your chin. Lift up your chin. He kept telling her to lift up. I don't know why he was telling her to lift up his chin. He was putting these... Yeah, but why didn't you lift up your chin? Because you're so used to having your chin drop down on your chest. So lift up your chin. Walk around snooty, you know. There you go, lift up your nose. Put your nose up in the air, you know. And walk around snooty if that's how you have to get the visual picture of it. But you see, when you like yourself and you smile at yourself, you look in the mirror and you laugh at yourself. But as you do this, then you're being happy. But lift up your chin, shoulders back, chest out, tummy in, you know, butt in, and walk around like that. It's not easy. But when you do, that's what the Marines do. That's why the Marines are so absolutely perfect. And Ingeborg says she's going to get a stick about so long and put it behind her back and put her elbows through it, you know, so that when she walks, it'll help her straighten up better. And I said, well, what you need to do is you just get a rope and have it pull you up, you know, from the head and, you know, keep you up like this as you walk around and hang it to a sky hook and then put a bird to run the sky hook for you, you know. Good idea? Yeah, good idea. Some people do that, you know. They have a thing for their head and then they have it like a swing from the tree and then they drop it down just so that their feet are flat on the ground and their head is in that thing, and it makes them remember to do that. Now, that's what?
Yeah.
But that is a good thing. You don't need that sort of a treatment to do that, but if that's what it takes, then perhaps you should. But like yourself, and now you're giving me a smile, and that's the shortest distance between us. When you give me a frown, I don't even care to look at you, you know. And when people are looking at me in strange ways while I'm giving a talk, I lose all enthusiasm for giving a talk. So, a smile is the shortest distance between what?
Two
beings. So, remember that, live that, enjoy that, and love that. I love you, I love you,
I love you.